You're listening to the good.
Don't call me Paino.
The bad.
Absolute.
And the rugby.
Folded like a deck chair.
With Paino, Lord, and the Husk. I don't know what that means.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of The Good, The Bad, and The Rugby. I hope you're keeping well. My name is Alex Payne. Husk and Tins are locked and loaded this week, and it is a very warm welcome. And all rise, please, to the court of King Courtney. How are you, big man? It is very nice to see you.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm good. I'm very good, thank you.
It's been quite a week for you. I'm very pleased you've come in the ice white tight. For those who are listening, it's showing off Courtney Laws and all his prime beef. Not literally. That would be a different show. You've got a pump on just for the show.
Yeah.
Tell us. I mean, what a week for you. We've got to start with the big one. Did you know? Did you have any idea? Do you have an inkling, a tip off, or were you literally told in that Northampton huddle?
You know, I had a few inklings because I pretty much written myself off after I got injured, because obviously I'd played like four games because of my previous injury. So I was like, well, that's that then, kind of thing. And then I was going through my rehab and stuff. And the guy that operated on my shoulder or my pec, he works out of Wales. And we had a like, consultation to see how it was going. And I was telling him, like, he's basically saying, don't rush back. And I was like, there's no rush for me to get back. I'm probably not going on the Lions tour. And he was like, well, the soldier horses, you never know, kind of thing. So I was like, well, that's a weird thing to say. Do you know what I mean? Why would he say that? So that was my first, like,
His surname wasn't Gatland at this point, was it?
I wouldn't let Gatland. He can do many things, but operating on my shoulder is one thing I wouldn't let Warren do.
No, certainly not. But yeah, so I didn't know whether he'd had a call from somebody asking about, you know, what's going on, kind of thing. And then I guess there was the whole email stuff flying around, wasn't there? And I never got an email. So I was like, well, if I didn't get an email, it means I'm either nowhere near the team and I'm never going to be in it, like, no matter who gets injured, or I'm in the team, so there's no point in telling me to save the dates, kind of thing. So
what was the email thing called? So I missed this. What, boys are getting all these pre-emails and letters and stuff, is it?
Yeah, there was a few kind of, it was, what I'd heard was this, a like save the date email. So basically, and apparently like 60 players got it or something like that, a lot of players. And I never got one. So I was like, well, so you're saying there's a chance, kind of thing.
Straight through, lift the rope.
And then I was just like, well, there's nothing I can do now. So you just got to wait and see, haven't you?
Have you heard from anybody? I mean, have you heard from Warren or Neil Jenkins? I'm not sure you've heard from Neil Jenkins, the kicking coach. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll take on new roles. But have you heard from anyone since the day? Or are you just now waiting for a file of fax and kit order, etc.?
Yeah, literally just waiting. I haven't spoken to anybody.
Interesting.
Waiting for an email and that. But like I said, it's the same as last time, so it's nothing new.
Right. Because there was a lot of noise about the fact that we all were expecting a 36-man squad, and there was a lot of noise around you being the rugby equivalent of Ian Buckles, being the 37th man and coming in at the very end to kind of be the big reveal. Has anyone picked up with you on that? I mean, do you know if you were sort of almost Indiana Jones, the door is closing, we've got to take Courtney Laws because ... or is that's just hearsay?
I've got no idea, honestly. Thinking about it, it makes sense because I haven't played any rugby. He said he wanted someone to bolster the back five, right? And I can obviously play in the back row or second row. But I thought I'd have got a save the date letter email if they weren't going to bring me. Do you know what I mean? So that's the only thing that makes me doubt that.
I'm interested with your thing, you know, because obviously you said you made your mind up like that you weren't going to be able to do it. Because again, you know, I spoke to you because I remember I saw it. I sent you a message and I was like, listen, are you all right? What's happening with your pec? And you were like, I've ripped off the bone doing down and ups. And I was like, oh my God, like what a nightmare. But I didn't know how long it was going to take because I partially did mine and I didn't have surgery. So I wasn't sure. Was there a case, you know, a lot of people obviously at this time of year throw all those Lions teams out, like we all did it. Like, so we luckily we've got you on. We all named you in our squad. Yes. So our conscience is clear.
We were speaking to the surgeon all along.
In fact, it could have been down to us that you got selected and they went, oh my God, we hadn't actually thought of him.
But if you were, but because you weren't in it, did you still like occasionally check out to see, you know, as my name mentioned, because you know what I mean, as a player you never kind of quite give up, even if there's like the odds are stacked against you.
No, I never give up. I was always hoping, but I would never go out of my way to see if I'm on anybody's team, you know what I mean? But I follow you guys on Instagram, so I saw Cass team first actually, and I was like, well, I'll have a look, but there's no way I'll be on it. And then I was on it, I was like, and I was like, we clicked on your page, went down Tim, I'm on his love. But yeah, so I was like, yeah, all right, I'm happy with that. But other than that, I think you boys are the only ones I saw.
Did it, as in some ways, as the injury and having that that sort of, you've sort of switched off to it, it's helped you emotionally in terms of you haven't sort of worried about it too much, you've just taken it as coming. Obviously, we saw Sinclair this week and, you know, he got man of the match and he obviously didn't get picked and he was quite emotional about it. Did it help really from your side? And it was completely out of your control. You don't expect to go. If they want you to go, then great.
No, I wouldn't say it helped. I'm not that kind of guy anyway. I don't really stress. I wouldn't stress about it. Like if I'd have, I'd have preferred to have the opportunity to feel my hand and show what I can do rather than just have it taken out of my hands and there's nothing I can do about it. I'd rather give it all I've got. And if I make it, I make it. If I don't, I don't. Then just you're injured now. You've got no control over it whatsoever.
Can I ask you, are you tip-top? I mean, are you ready to go? Have you got a bit of work to do? Where are you at with feeling 100% and ready to take on the box?
I've still got a little bit of strength to get back in my... It's more my shoulder. I had a bit of a niggly shoulder before I got injured, and then it's just made it a little bit worse. So my pec's all right now. I just got to work on my shoulder strength and stability. But I should be back in the next two or three weeks.
Was there a moment, though, when you got announced that you were like, because I know you, Courts, you always talk about, you know, you're always a professional athlete, but you're not far away from just a little settee set up with a Cutler Gay laptop. Was there a point where you announced it and you had like crunching up cornflakes in one hand and a hobnob in the other? And you were like, but also you've always stayed lean, so your weight's never, ever been an issue. If actually, you struggle, but was there a moment like, oh shit, now, like, called up the club and said, now it's time to, like, kick, you know, get into action, put the 2 kilos down and try for the sixes, you know?
No, to be fair, I've actually gone pretty high this. I've not had an upper body injury since I was about 23, I think, like, since I did my elbow. So this was my one big chance to try and get some decent legs. You know what I mean? I've got 3 months. I've got to try and get some kind of legs and tone something. So I've just been going flat out. I've still got terrible legs, but they're better than what they were. They're better.
But they've got movement in those little Bambi legs. Mate. You don't want to lose that. You don't want to lose a short step.
No. To be fair, I do translate strength and size well onto the pitch. So I'm backing myself.
Can I ask you? I mean, you've been there. You've done it. I mentioned 87 caps for England. You're off with the British and Irish Lions again. You've been there. You've done it. But to become a double Lion, and particularly given, you know, that you've come from outside the running because of your injuries, etc. I mean, have you given yourself a sort of a moment where you've gone, do you know, this moves things a little bit? I mean, what emotionally is your reaction to being picked again?
To be honest, it's given me a bit more purpose, or probably a bit more motivation, you know, because I knew that even if I didn't get picked, I probably wouldn't be far away. So I always had that in the back of my head. And if I got back fit, that I'd have a chance of going if somebody got injured or whatnot, especially if I was got back fit and playing well. But being that obviously most people didn't think I was even going to go on tour. Most people aren't going to think I'm going to make the test team. But I think I am. So that's what's motivating me at the minute.
Funny enough, I read Joe Marler's reaction to not getting picked and obviously very disappointed, but he's sort of intimated that he came away from 2017 and perhaps didn't fill the goodwill bank with Warren Gatland. I'm wondering for you whether the part of the reason you are going is because you feel you've generated a lot of goodwill with Gatland. Did you ever have a kind of a not a debrief necessarily, but can you see why Gatland's picked you? What is it about you that he wants on his team again?
I think that Gats watches a lot of rugby, and I think that he would have seen that I picked up quite well when I come back from my last injury. And while we certainly didn't talk much on the last tour, I didn't do anything. I was obviously playing well. I thought I was certainly pushing to try and start second test, and then I got on the bench, and then I played well off the bench, and unfortunately didn't get a start for the last test, which I was obviously really disappointed about. But it's not like I burnt any bridges, didn't throw the toys at my plan at my prime. I just cracked on and did what I could for the team. So I think that might have helped me. I don't know. Maybe if we weren't going to South Africa, it'd be a different outcome. But we are going somewhere where they're going to run at us, and you're going to need somebody that's going to hit. So that's what I can do.
That's what I can do. Love it. If it says that on the tin, that's what I'm here for. I was going to read your quote. Nobody gave me a chance. And you picking up on what you're just saying there. This is what you said at the weekend. Nobody gave me a chance to get in the test team last time, and I think I was unlucky not to get a start, to be honest. I'm going there to get in the test team. Which I love that, just as a sort of, it is quite Ron Seal in its approach, but it definitely, everyone knows what you're doing. Are you someone, when you set a goal like that, how do you go about making sure that this becomes the reality?
There's no point in really looking at that far ahead. When I get to meet the coaches, I'm going to say, what do you need from me? What do I need to do to get a starting team? And when they tell me, I'm just going to do everything I can to provide what they need. And that's all there is to it. And then it's up to me to, again, get myself in the right frame of mind physically, mentally, and go out there and have the confidence to go and do it.
Are you very sort of, I mean, talk to me about the process. I mean, because I think I've heard before, I think Hask has mentioned before, that you're someone who's extraordinarily professional in the way that you do it. I mean, are you having to prepare slightly for the fact that South Africa, there might be a little bit of kit, bollock and scramble about the tour, and you know, it might be almost being made up in the spur of the moment because of the challenges around that? Is that something you're comfortable with?
Yeah, no problem at all. Don't bother me. I'll do whatever. It literally straight over my head. Like, Hask knows me. I'm relaxed. Go with the flow. Not bothered.
Yeah, I mean, I think as well, the part of the reason, well, you know, obviously everyone knows what you can do as a player. And I think, you know, I was certainly very vocal. I thought England missed you dramatically in the Six Nations. And I think, you know, your ability is up there, as well as destructive tackle. But I think that coincided with that 2017 of you developing a whole new area of your game. And I think that in especially in New Zealand, you know, you spending the time after training. Do you remember you, me, and Borthers just running lines? It's a point, you know, that kind of dedication. But one thing I've always, I think some coaches early on might have found hard, is because you are kind of laid back, but you get the job done and you take it seriously, and you're very professional. I think it's interesting you said about your injury stuff, about notoriously in the past, it takes you a bit of time. I think you're a very different player from those days now, and you kind of know what you need to do. You know, when you're a younger player, you sort of spend a lot of time trying to manage and do everything. Your thing is to cut people in half. Obviously, the line out takes care of and carry the ball. Like, you know, the other nuance, you know, if you're doing them, you're on fire. I'm interested to know have you thought any more about kind of, you know, South Africa, if you get there, just in terms of the fact that it's going to be a very different tour. You know, we had quite a social tour in 2017, spent a lot of time together. Would you have hated, say, for example, the Six Nations of England, just sitting in a room, or would you have been okay with that?
No, I mean, with room together, like, I'm pretty happy doing whatever, so I'm quite happy in my own company. Don't get a lot of time in my own company, to be honest, so very happy in my own company. At the same time, if we do get time to socialise, then I'm in, do you know what I mean? So I'm pretty easy going. I like gaming, so that keeps me busy when I'm on my pod. And then, yeah, when I'm with the boys, we go, you know what I mean?
Very old school. It's a very good old school mentality, of course. He's always had that, I think. You know, he's always a good tourist. Enjoyed going out a couple of times in Australia when we were out there. And, you know, he was there. He was always there. You might not you turn around and where have you come from, of course? But... Yeah, I think you sort of need that on a Lions trip, and I think that sort of package is what Gatland looks for. And as you say, he's just said he can turn up and he can rock up. He doesn't let it affect his mentality, and that's what you need on a Lions trip. That's why people come from nowhere who you don't necessarily think are going to get a start, and that's what Courtney will be trying to do.
Are you somebody that you're now a leader? I mean, you have been for a while, but you're now a sort of senior double lion. You know, you'll be amongst the top 10 most capped players there. I mean, do you love that leadership role? Is that something that sits comfortably? Is it something you don't really think about too much? What are your sort of views on being one of the, you know, the golden oldies type of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't go out of my way to be a leader or talk or anything like that. But I think, especially at least when I'm with England, that's what Eddie appreciates with me. That I don't say much, but if I feel the need to say something, if I feel it's important to say something, then I will say it. And because I don't speak all the time, people generally listen. So then I like to try and lead by example. So, you know, on the pitch, mainly lead by example, setting the kind of tempo physically. And then around the camp, I think me being one of the leaders and not, obviously I'm in the leadership groups with England and stuff, but still being really relaxed, able to have a joke and a laugh around training and stuff and help the kind of younger lads that are stressing about stuff, help them kind of relax a little bit too.
My favourite thing about Court when he says setting the tone was in the those contacts or training sessions on a Thursday, someone will run through and do something and they'd like go extra and you'll see Courts go, okay. And you're like, oh, for fuck's sake. And then he's going to get absolutely ended. And then he's just be like, good big C, good mate. And there's this kid's like, my rib, mate. Yeah. I mean, do you still enjoy that now? Because, like, you know, when you're sort of a younger player, you're always fired up. When you get older, the last thing you want is a young guy, like, you know, hurt you. But every now and then I see you spark up. Do you still have that desire, even if you've been off playing?
Yeah, I do. And it doesn't matter what I do, because a lot of times in training now, you know, when you get a bit older, you're just like, just don't get hurt. You know what I mean? Don't flip and pick up any niggles. Try not to let people trot on your toes and stuff. especially in your moles and that. But especially with England training now, everyone's going so full on. You go to make a touch or something, they run off 10 metres and you're just like, well, flipping it. What are you going to do? Like, you're mugging me off, so I'm going to have to fly in next time. That's just what you got to do, and I'll never get that out of me, I don't think.
Are you good? I mean, because I've discovered actually in retirement, I was just training before I came on, doing some boxing stuff. Like, I have to do something physical, and I get really, I don't realise it, but Chloe says I'm a nightmare most of the time, but basically says that I get even more arsey if I don't do stuff and train. Are you like that? A bit like a cage? Because I know you're very laid back, but you're a bit like a caged tiger. You haven't played for a while.
Yeah, I'm a really competitive person. So, yeah, in previous injuries, whenever I'm like on the verge coming back, maybe a training week before I'm coming back playing and stuff, and I'm with the boys, I'm trying to smoke people, do you know what I mean? Because I hadn't had it for a while, so I need it back. So, yeah, when I finish playing, I'll be doing your boxing and a bit of jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, just to, because I need that competitive aspect. I need to be at something, do you know what I mean? And I do quite enjoy that, even though I'm laid back off the pitch and on it a lot of the time, but I do have that edge. I like to have that edge.
What he's saying there is, don't ever play tour table tennis with him because a bat could be coming at you rapid rain nuts.
You
don't need the treatment table right next door. Have you always had that though, and have you always channeled it into sport?
Yeah, I think so. And I guess that's why I like gaming as well, probably just because you get to be competitive and I want to be the best. I want to be the best at that as well, whatever I'm doing. So, I just like that competitive side of things. And luckily, I've always been able to channel it into something, mainly sports.
Yeah. I want to pick up on Lions a little bit later as well. But have you been hearing from Eddie while you've been injured? Has he kept in touch? Do you get a little 4 a.m. text just to say, thinking of you, how are you? Or has he let you get on with it?
No, he texted the young boys at that time, mate.
But your senior ranks now.
Yeah, I get my text around 8 o'clock, so I'm doing all right.
Perfect.
But yeah, he texted me last week just asking how I was going and that.
Good. Did you watch over the last few weeks, months? What have you made of sort of? And how much have you missed it as well?
Well, it's always tough. I mean, I tend not to necessarily miss things. I always want to play in that, but I try and just be happy in what I'm doing, even if I'm injured. It gives me an opportunity to spend time with my family, work on things that maybe I wouldn't get to work on if I was playing. And obviously, you're not always sore like you are when you're playing. So just try and take the positives out of whatever it is that's going on at the time. So while I have obviously missed playing, I've tried to, you know, not get too down about it and stay positive and enjoy the rest of my life.
Am I right in thinking, Courts, in this, I know obviously while you're in England, someone's telling me that you've always been a bit of a cook, but you've taken things up to the next level. Is that right?
Yes, I have, mate. I mean, with the first lockdown, I don't know, it's just like, it was just something to do. So I was like, flipping out, let's get into this. So yeah, I've been going pretty hard. I've got a bit, I can get a bit lazy now. I'm not as into it as I was in the first lockdown, but just because I'm training right now. So half the time I'm quite tired. But yeah, when I had plenty of energy, I was well into it.
Well, if we're coming round to Chef Courts, what are you putting on the table for us? I'm looking forward to it.
I can do plenty of different bits, but my favourite thing to cook today would probably be like jerk chicken, Caribbean food kind of style.
All over all of that. A bit of pounded yam, get that in there.
Yeah, boy. Yeah. Come around like that.
I've told you about that time that I went to that old Kent Road course. You've heard about that.
When
I got my pat, yeah. That was an eye-opening experience.
What, one for this show, or is that for good, bad, the rugby later?
Maybe for another day, maybe for afters. So with the cooking thing, like, how did it come about? Like, did you, like, when we say you got into it, because when we shared a room before, you were obviously on rotation. Room service, knock knock, cheese omelette, knock knock, club sandwich. Now I imagine you could be taking some sort of portable gas stove system and cooking up bits.
To be fair, I took because we didn't have room service to the last hotel, did we? Because it was all lockdown protocol and that. So I was like, well, if I don't get room service, then I'm just gonna be nothing by the end of the tournament. I thought, you know what I mean? We're down to 100 kegs trying to be a winger or something. So I was like, I took a little electric cooker, just little thing, and a saucepan, some eggs, some cheese, cooked up omelets every evening. Easy as, mate.
Oh, this is England camp.
That was the England camp, yeah.
I thought I dreamed this. Someone Elite. Must have told me about that.
Someone told you, I think. You questioned me on it, and I was like, don't bring that up.
Yeah, I just thought about it because I couldn't really. Did you bring do you have a little portable fridge with your chilled apple juice and ice in it as well?
No, there's a fridge there, mate. It's cushy.
Oh, mate, because you're very particular about your cheese omelets. Did you try and cook your own club sandwich or not?
No, I didn't have that. I can't. No. I didn't want to bring stuff like egg steak like 2 weeks ago. You're easy. Bring chicken, do you know what I mean? Just be a mess. Bacon and that. No. Kept it simple.
So we're building a picture here of someone who's going to be doing Ready Steady Cook / fighting in the UFC post-retirement. I mean, are you going to be sort of building a portfolio of businesses that's even more diverse than Hask? Have you thought about, there's a lot to come obviously, but life post-rugby?
Yeah, I thought about it plenty, especially getting in your old age, but I certainly haven't got my fingers in as many pies as old Hask over there, have I? I ain't got the amount of time and energy as he has either. So,
yeah. Some of my fingers are in pies they're not meant to be. I was aiming for one and I got in another.
Have you thought about life? I mean, you know, what do you want to do?
Yeah, I've got a couple of properties going on in the background. My missus is running a pretty successful business at the minute, so that's going really well.
What does that do?
It's called the Mum Club. It's like a... They do blogs, they do loads of stuff, got a big website now, but mainly events. They've just started franchising, so it's going very well. So that'll be good. And then I'll probably pick up a trade when I finish, maybe like Sparky or something like that. And then I'll be able to buy houses, save a bit of cost on the electricians and do them up and fling them on.
Stepladders. Yeah. Jenny, are you quite interested in getting into that kind of thing? Have you started
yeah.
a bit of that already?
Got a couple of properties. My dad's a property developer, small property developer for the last few years. And I went to, I've got a diploma in construction management and that. So it makes sense going into that when I finish, especially if I need some decent cash, you know what I mean? So. Lean on that
because you're much more of a deep thinker than I think people give you credit for, because you're quite, I wouldn't say politically motivated, but you're sort of, you go down the odd rabbit hole on YouTube looking into things, don't you? Like you kind of like a bit, you're like, I mean, I don't know, do you want to explain it better, like what's the motivation for doing that, because that's something that I've never done, but you're sort of really kind of into things.
I like to know what's going on politically, I guess. I don't know, death by association nowadays, isn't it? So really want me to start talking about it.
Listen, we don't need you to. Well, death, but I've got no problem because I'm already dead.
I've already been
cancelled, so I don't give a shit. These two have got more of an established career.
Not much. I went control all delete when I started working with you. There's not a lot left here to protect, unfortunately. It is interesting, though, Courtney. I mean, just as a sort of general question, and the last thing we want to do, this is a week of celebration for you and for all those who've been chosen, but it is interesting. I mean, because you have spoken publicly before, is it something that you will do again, or is it something you've just thought, you know, life is short, I've got other things to do, or is it something, you know, I've got genuine beliefs and I'm happy to talk about them?
I think that's more the case. I haven't been on Twitter much in the past kind of 6 months, which I ain't got time. Like, the kids are growing up, the twins are three. I ain't got the time to be arguing with people on Twitter, do you know what I mean? It's no chance. But if people ask me, again, like interviews and whatnot, then I'm going to tell you what I think. That's all there is to it.
Don't you find at the moment it's like society says, be yourself, and then when you are yourself, they go, no, not like that. You're like, oh.
No, be yourself, but have the right
opinion. Yeah. Oi,
if you don't have the right opinion, change.
My favourite is when I work with brands, go, right, listen, James, we love how you are on social media. Wondered if you could say it in your own words. I say it in your own words. No, not those words. You're like, but you said that you... It's the same thing with anything. It's like, you know, I got burnt recently, and I just wondered like, exactly what Alex said. Do you find... Because I think what you said actually at the top of the programme, that you're going off for a test spot, that's what you want to do if it all works out well. I kind of really like that kind of determination, because when I was a player, I don't know if you felt it was so very sanitized, you know, you sort of can't really have too much, not really have much of an opinion. And now it seems like we've gone even further away from that, but there are still some players putting their hands up saying, actually, this is how it is. Do you find that?
Yeah, definitely. And it's tough now because it doesn't matter what you say, whether you have a personality or you don't, somebody's going to try and bash you for it. Do you know what I mean? So that's just the world we live in at the minute, and it is what it is. So you might as well, as far as I'm concerned, say your opinion, speak your mind, and if people don't like it, which a lot of people aren't going to like it because most people don't like anything nowadays, then so be it. But I'm sure plenty of people will enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit like the feedback to this show, actually. But it's interesting because, am I right in saying you've been doing quite a bit? Is it the Centre for Social Justice think tank?
Tell
me about that and how that's come your way, why you've got involved in it, and what it is you're actually doing.
Well, I basically got involved with it because they try and push the same kind of stuff that I am around. If you want to improve the lives of children in lower income areas, then you should push for people to be in a family, you know, be married before they decide to have children. Probably the best way to try and make it out of poverty. And obviously a lot of people don't like that opinion, and it's not foolproof by any means, but it's somewhat better than what's happening at the minute. And basically they think the same way. There are plenty of people looking into it and plenty of statistics proving the point. So they asked me to help them push that message, which I was happy to do. So I've written a couple of essays and helped to work a few bits of newspapers and stuff like that, and yeah, just helping anywhere I can.
Did that come off the bat? Am I right to say, was it Marcus Rashford where the story kind of escalated? So obviously Rashford's done extraordinary things around free school meals, and I think in the holidays as well, and it's been amazing. You stepped into the conversation at that point and said...
Well, I firstly congratulated him on what he's done. So I think it's a really good thing, and obviously it's the right thing to do for our society. And then I said, but we should look into people being, you know, in a stable financial situation and married before they decide to have children. And yeah, it went down like a lead balloon.
Right. But off the bat,
to be fair, I didn't when I was writing the tweet, I didn't explain myself very well. You know what Twitter's like anyway. And I was
you got 140 characters.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just walking around, pottering around. Wrote the tweet, sent it out, didn't think much of it, to be honest. And it picked up a lot of traction. So, yeah, it is what it is.
Did the Centre for Social Justice think tank, did they pick up off the back of that and say, yeah? And so have you found through them that you've got more space, A, to learn, but also to express yourself? I mean, you're talking about essays, which obviously gives you a lot more scope to explain these things. We talk a lot about nuance on this show and the fact that without it, it's very difficult to have any sort of reasoned debate. But do you feel both that you've learnt more, but also you're able to kind of discuss it more now?
Yeah, definitely. Learned loads. And if ever I'm wondering things around certain statistics and whatnot, then I can ask them. And if they don't have it, they'll look into it and stuff. And it's really cool, man. I've really enjoyed it.
Why is it something that interests you, though?
I don't know. I guess social politics is quite interesting to me, the way society's going, where it's being driven. It's quite interesting. It's going to have probably a big impact on my children. You already see how far things can go in such a short amount of time. Things you can't talk about now that you could talk about 5 years ago. So it's just interesting to see where it's going and kind of why. Also, with it, in terms of that aspect, in terms of marriage and why I push that, is because I've seen it firsthand. Like I've spoken to other people about it, but my mum and dad are together. They've been together my entire life. And there's absolutely no doubt that has helped me immensely. And I wouldn't be on this call with you today. I wouldn't be a rugby player if that wasn't the case. And I know that for a fact. And I can prove it even with my half brother, by my dad. And my dad was still there for my brother, but he wasn't in the same situation. They weren't in a family, and they didn't get the stability that he needed. And so even living in the same town, the same access to resources, really, he went on a very different path. So it's clear to me what a big difference it makes.
Are you close with your brother now? Is this something you've discussed with him?
Yes, I'm close to him. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's always been a really good guy. But like many kids, they don't have a good understanding. They don't have a good outlet, and they can just get pushed off track. Do you know what I mean? And he's doing great now. Got a little boy of his own. So yeah, and they're around the same age as my little one. So yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, he's doing great.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm interested, Courts, as well, because obviously the way you're thinking, how you think sort of rugby's handling stuff around these difficult subjects. Because you know, I mean, I was just out of it, I think, when a few of these sort of things came to the fore, and I know you were quite strongly opinion, and sort of like you see with the different teams now, with the kind of for example, the rugby against racism, the different approaches, you know, some people are kneeling, some people aren't kneeling, and kind of the animosity still, you know, directed at people who don't necessarily conform. And I know that you're not really a conformist, and sort of you have your opinion, you sort of open your mind to different things, but you're quite staunch about stuff. Do you think that rugby's handling stuff in the right way? Because I still think sometimes we're told this is what we're doing. You're like, well, hold on, well, I don't necessarily think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's going on at the top. I think that they did. It was good of them to say that you as clubs are going to handle it how you want to handle it. I think that was really good, because it meant that you don't just have one big uniform. We are doing this, and obviously there's going to be certain clubs that want to do certain things, certain clubs that don't. So I thought that was really good. But yeah, I don't know what's going on at the top. There's obviously a big push for change, kind of social change in a few different areas. But I'm not involved in the meeting, so I don't know exactly what they're talking about. But I don't know what to tell you, mate. I just
wondered because obviously a lot of people don't think about it. So, yeah. For example, when I was involved in some of those things, you actively think about social change. Like you and I have had conversations online and offline.
Yeah.
And this is when we get you on to talk about this stuff. I am just interested when people see you as a player, they see you as this destructive force, kind of quite aggressive, but they don't realise you've kind of got quite a, we're very deep to there's a lot, many layers to you. We've talked about stuff, and I sometimes sit in a room with other players and I've been passionate about subjects, and you know that they don't care and they're just going to go, I want to be out of the meeting, get on with it.
Yeah.
But you're not that kind of person. I wondered how you've sort of found it there, because there are some pretty deep political things going on that you feel quite strongly about. I remember I was talking about the Black Lives Matter thing and you were actually the organisation, were against the organisation, not against racism, not against, you know, being better to black men, but the organisation itself. And we spoke about that and you educated me and I was like, oh my God, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But for most of the people, I would have gone, well, hold on a minute, I'm not, I've never been afflicted with racism. I want to do the right thing. I don't know enough about the organisation. Let's get behind it.
Yeah.
Without looking into depth, when you do, and I just wondered how that sits with you. Do you care, or do you just go, well, actually, I'm going to do my thing and ignore everyone else?
It's a difficult one. I think a lot of people just go with what they've been told without actually having a good look into things. So I basically said to the boys, you have to decide whether what kneeling means to you. whether you can separate Black Lives Matter, the saying or whatnot, with, can you separate that from the organisation? And it was my opinion that you couldn't. So that was just one of them things. And then all I could do was express my opinion. I wasn't going to force nobody on it. And I said, if you want to kneel, you boys kneel. That's it. But that's not what I'm going to do. And I wouldn't want anybody to try and force me to do it.
It's interesting that, isn't it? It's because, you know, what Courtney's saying is Courtney takes a very balanced view, which is not really pushed anymore in the modern world. You have to sit on one side or the other. A company or whatever you want to call it will always take what goes well in the media, so they're seen to be doing that. But it always just shows for all the players, you should always have an opinion. You know, have a little look at it yourself. Because no one can know what racism means to anyone else but yourself. How do you feel about it? What have your experiences have been with how you've interacted with people in the past? And then you've got to make your decisions within that. And don't worry about if people question you about it, because you'll have your own reasons for doing it, and you can probably tell people about it. But I mean, it goes back to what Court said before, is actually have your own opinion and don't be scared of putting it forward, even if people are going to judge you for it, because some people will be agreeing exactly the same with you.
I know what you're talking about, first and foremost. Because like we said before, most people just thought the Black Lives Matter organisation was just trying to support black people. As time has gone on, it seems that's not the case, is it? So just have a look into things. Just know what you're doing before you're trying to push it, especially if you're trying to push it on other people.
Know what you're talking about before you try to cancel someone, I think it's probably the best thing as well. What I mean is that, but that's I think the interesting thing as well is the Chinese whispers kind of thing on social media and stuff, is it's put three people removed, don't know anything. And for example, that, you know, you said about the Marcus Rashford thing, they're just coming in and hammering you, and it's like they've misconstrued a point because context is missing. And then they also haven't really listened to any of the detail, looked at the beginning, and they've just gone, well, Courtney Law's a dickhead. Yeah. And you're like, well, hold on a minute. How did that happen? I mean, I know you said it before, you're sort of not on social, but has that scarred you for life? Because I've made a full U-turn in my life with it now.
I was going to pick up on with Courtney, and I was going to use you as an example, which is you've gone for things before, Hask, and had the rug pulled under you and gone, oh, bollocks, I'm off to do something else. But Courtney, what's really impressive about what you've done is obviously you've found yourself in an absolute shitstorm, but instead of going, oh, bollocks, I'm off to do something else, you've actually really got further into it. And I just wondered, you know, are you interested in pursuing this? You've obviously learned a lot. You've got a very powerful platform. I mean, is this something, along with MMA, Ready, Steady, Cook, Holmes Under the Hammer? I mean, can we see you at the dispatch box as well?
There's been a lot of fights. I can't see myself going into politics after rugby. I'm certainly not a party politics kind of guy. I'll continue to work with the Centre for Social Justice because I'd like to help with what I can, kind of thing. Do what I can to help. And then I work with, again, charities to help make change that way. But I certainly won't be. I'm not interested in even you know, your kind of political analysts and that kind of thing nowadays. All they want, really, it's the same as everybody else. They just want clicks. So they just say the most inflammatory things. Half the time don't even mean anything. They're just saying it to piss people off. And then they just add fuel to the fire. So I'm certainly not interested in that.
You think... I was just going to wonder, like, obviously, with the tour coming up to... you know, South Africa. I wondered if you'd noticed. I mean, you said you hadn't been a lot on social media, but we were talking to people at, you know, the RFU, and I was quoted on it in the week that the way the England team were performed. Did you see how badly they got sort of slated online? Did you see any of that yourself?
Yeah, I saw a few bits. It's hard to say why people are so negative nowadays. Do you know what I mean? There's a lot of stuff going on. Obviously, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people are frustrated with just life in general at the minute. And then the only real outlet is social media. And then we're the people that are in the public eye doing what we love. And in their eyes, doing it poorly. So they're going to let us know.
I just wondered if you know sort of what your thoughts were going into to South Africa, because you know I was so surprised that after Six Nations, the very fact that we got Six Nations up and running and the fact that there are people to play it, and then when things didn't go well, normally you know we know fans online can be very aggressive, but they seem to be doubly aggressive. I just wondered if you've got any sort of thoughts about you know what it's going to be like at all, because 2017 we were quite relaxed and we were filming stuff all over the place. I just wonder whether now, after what happened to you and sort of what the thing is, whether you're changing your kind of opinion on that kind of stuff, or you just do what you're always going to do, it doesn't matter.
Well, I mean, I'm going to do what I was always going to do. I think from my experience, and I'm sure your experience as well, the Lions fans are a bit of a different kettle of fish. But we played some pretty poor rugby out there, and they still just were happy to be there, loving life, you know what I mean? They cheered us everywhere we went. They were super excited. Super motivated to get behind us, no matter how we played, no matter what we did. And I thought that was, I'd never seen anything like that before. It was absolutely amazing. Do you know what I mean? And I can't see it being much different this time, to be honest with you. I think they're going to be super, super excited. It happens every 4 years. And I honestly think that you're going to get a few people, obviously, because you always will. But I think in general, the vast majority of fans, Lions fans, are going to be right behind us.
I think with that you get what Gats said, didn't you? He goes, you know that English fans have a slight English, but when he picks the team, but as soon as everyone is out there, I don't think you get that because everyone generally does just turn into a Lions fan. Whereas at the moment, if England play crap, loads of Welsh and Irish will fire into you. You know, say vice versa as it would do as fans. Whereas I think that's what's unique about the Lions is it actually generally pulls four nations together in a positive way, and I think we need that at the moment.
It's a big moment as well when the squad is announced, because everyone can get behind the squad and the sort of the battle lines blur and blend into one. Let's talk Lions in just a moment or two. I hope that you feel you've had the space to explain that. I think you've articulated that incredibly well. I think your journey with it is absolutely fascinating. And I think fundamentally people need to remember that you're trying to do something for the good of others and the good of society. It's a viewpoint, but there has to be buy-in and pay-in to these debates in order to make any progress. You can't just sit idly by. And I'm massively respectful to you about the fact that you've got off your backside and you've done something about it. You've learned, you've educated, you've joined up. I think it's hugely, hugely impressive, the journey you've been on with it, despite the start.
And you need that balance. This is what I think misses in the world. People just sit on either this side and this side, and that is the only way you can fight and you can argue. And what Courtney has done, and what it's been brilliant for, is don't just believe what you read on a social media platform. Go away, do a bit of research and formulate your own opinion, and you'll stand up from sitting on this side or that side, and you might come into the middle and have a look over both walls and appreciate both people's point of view and create your own opinion.
Amen. Here's an interesting segue from social justice and trying to, you know, make the world a better place into this week's ad read, which, would you believe, they've come back for a second bite at the cherry. A very warm welcome back to Charles Turrett. Despite everything that happened last week, we're moving to second base. Haskins wearing.
He loves the polo.
Yeah, that's the polo. You're looking quite smart in it, actually.
Yeah. Well, I like
Tight
it.
On the pipes.
A burgundy's really my colour
as
well.
It really brings out your eyes.
The problem is I bumped heads with a dog and caught me with one of his teeth, so I've got sort of a bruised head, but it sort of looks like I've got a bit of burgundy everywhere.
Given we got you here, Courts, I mean, they are the official formal wear partner to England Rugby. They've created a range for the fans as well, as you will know, with some sharp, high-quality merch ranging from rose-embroidered Oxford shirts to Marina knitwear. Were you involved in a little photo shoot for Charles Turrett? Did they get the big man, the large gentleman?
No involvement. Obviously, he didn't make the cut, looks wise.
With something like Charles Turrett, though, what happens is they try to like spread the kind of numbers out. And it's like, if you got a list, you're like, Courtney, yes, we all have Courtney. Courtney's a good looking man. But like, back in the day, you're like, got Dan Coles. It's like, you're like, Will, you know, like, Will, Tom Dunn.
Can we get a pillow company? Yeah, like Dan Coles.
Yeah. That's what they do. That's what they do, is that they always do that, and they go back and they push back. We've heard back from Charles Tyrant. Apparently Tom Dunn and Will Stewart are just not going to cut it this time. We'll take Courtney. Couldn't get Sladey. Yeah, we'll take Sladey. And that's how it always works. And if it's nothing, it's like, if it's one of those dodgy ones, because then they're okay. If it's something odd that you don't need to see, like a fitness drink, it's not a problem. It's like Dove Men.
Brilliant.
My face on it. Like, no.
Get him out of here. Do you quite like your number ones though, Court? So you're a man who likes a tight tie at the end of a post-match function. Do you look smart, play smart? You're in the Beck School of Fashion.
I like looking nice, yeah, definitely. I mean, certainly don't get the opportunity much at the minute. We don't even do like after match functions with England at the minute. But yeah, if I get a chance to dress up, I'm all out, mate.
Good. Look good, play good. I think it's good for your commercial endorsements. Charles Tyrwhitt, obviously the place to be for those of you who need a little help with your endorsements at the moment. What we have managed to do this week, and it's many thanks to whoever's working the web team, is we've managed to shorten the URL from a 45-minute read, which I think most people switched off quite quickly, just head to ctshirts.com. Thank you to whoever it was that shortened the URL. Charles Tyrwhitt are doing a wonderful thing for both the England team and for their supporters. Get involved. Hask is modelling it this week, which I'm not sure was signed off as part of the contractual obligations, but that's what they've got given. And I'm told that you can enjoy 25% off the full range with a 6-month guarantee and free returns. So help yourself to that. There is a code GOOD25 at ctshirts.com or dip into store. Help yourself. Lovely to have them on board. Are they going to be happy with us this week, Tins? When the live events return is going to be your sweet spot.
I'll be looking sharp.
Sharp as.
I might have actually had one of their pieces on when I, for the first time in a year, I ventured to London.
Did you?
This week, so for a little lunch.
A little
lunch at Bentley's, the seafood place, and got to see a few boys were really enjoying themselves, and a crazy Irishman was doing pull-ups off a sign that really narrow. I'm sure he must have sliced his hands open. He didn't come down it very well. I was like, it's good to see everyone's coming back. A little bit of leeway. There's a man doing pull-ups on a sign outside a posh restaurant. Love it.
Why absolutely do your lunches smash. Never begin with the start of the main and finish with pudding and a sort of a little bit of cheese? Why is there always chaos, mayhem, sunburn, blood? Why are you incapable of just eating like the rest of us?
Because that's boring. Right, it's got to have a bit of fun to life, haven't we?
Yeah, good. Charles Tyrwhitt, for all your pull-up needs at any working lunches and for the supporters amongst you, get involved. We love them. Right, let's dip back into all things Lions. And Courtney, I want to make this nice and easy for you. Who are you most looking forward to putting the band back together with from outside Team England?
I enjoy Hoggy's company, actually.
Great man.
I suppose Big Saint ain't a bad lad, but he's that saint. Still not, is it? I'm looking forward to spending some time on tour with him.
How excited was Dan on... who was more excited out of the two of you?
Probably me, actually, because he's been playing class, so he probably knew he was going. I haven't been playing at all, so I didn't have a clue.
And does the old WhatsApp group, does it fire up? Although James Haskell has been removed, Jack Noel has been removed, and in come the others. I mean, is it a new group, or is that to come?
Yeah, they go all right, actually. They like to get into each other. I enjoy it. I don't add much to WhatsApp, I can't lie. But I do have a flip through from time to time and find some quite funny stuff on there, yeah.
Good. What did you make of it, Tins? Just objectively, what did you make of the announcement? I did enjoy Alan Wynne coming in on his spaceship. Beam me up, Scotty. And but what did you make of it overall?
Look, I think there was, as we found out, there's people who think it's going to go one way, and it didn't. There were a few shocks in there. Obviously, I don't think many people had Bundyaki in there, and there's been a few things said about him, but he's obviously played enough games at international level that they've got, and he fits into a plan of what they're thinking. So it's now, and same with Chris Harris. I think he played very well for Scotland, but it's been interesting in the centres. But I think there are always tight calls. You know, we had enough abuse when we picked our squad, so let alone what Gats was going to have to go through. But, you know, he drew a Lions series last time. He's won one, and he knows a lot more about Lions than coaching Lions for certain, than any of us do. And I'm sure none of the boys will go there to let them down. They'll all do their best, and hopefully they'll go win a tour.
I did a little return to Sky
I know, it's beautiful seeing you back on there.
Do you think? It was, it was a bit wobbly. I was definitely felt like I was driving with a blindfold on. But
crazy leg crossing pose that you like get into with this. With just a slight lean to the right,
occasionally
elbow.
There's an arm down the back of the sofa as well, which I like to think just exudes comfortable confidence. that's what I was going for. But
welcome back.
What was really interesting about it is doing a bit of makeup with Warren Pree and having a chinwag with him afterwards. He is bang up for this, and I obviously that's the case. But you get the sense that there's been a lot of history with him and the Lions. And 2009, obviously, we touched on this, it was heartbreaking. In 2013, they won, but I don't think he enjoyed very much of it at all, particularly that third week when he dropped O'Driscoll. And then 2017, obviously, he got raked over the coals back in New Zealand and they called him a clown and it was the front page of the papers. But you sort of get the sense that everything that's gone before is going to come to the boil this time around. There's all the motivation of what happened in 2009. I just would be fascinated, Hask. I mean, you've worked with him more than the other two. When he gets the bit between his teeth, he is a very, very easy man to follow, it would appear. And he definitely feels like he's got everything he needs. I mean, do you get the sense from listening to him and having worked with him and seen the fire in the eyes?
There's always fire in Warren's eyes. He delights in nothing more, I think, than putting a team together, delivering it. You know, he gets, you know, he's ever the professional, but you sometimes see the excitement of seeing that group come together and wanting to hear the stories about what's going on, bond them. And I think for me, it's very interesting that it's a completely different coaching staff. You know, most of the time, I know he's got Rob McBride in there, but there's always been a few allies, you know, like there's been a few guys, people from previous tours that have overlapped. I know some of the off-field management will be, but this will be completely fresh. And he's obviously building something completely different than it's been gone before. And I think it'd be quite exciting for him and really refreshing. And he's so competitive. You know, you genuinely see in those sort of replays of 2017. I mean, he hit it pretty well from the lads, and I obviously wasn't in the test squad, but he was not having a great time. I think he wanted to just sack it off and go, you know, not quit, but, you know, was really kind of not enjoying the personal attacks. I mean, he said on my podcast, What a Flanker, you know, that there's a few press people that at some point in time, you know, they're going to get it just because, you know, the way they spoke about him and treated him and went after his family and the personal stuff. And I think, you know, being out of rugby for a while, you know, having those delays, this is a nice opportunity for him to really get into it. And he loves nothing more than getting around the lads and getting them up and running. And I'm excited to see how it goes, you know, with what is a pretty fresh squad, you know, that didn't conform. I mean, how many people saw the squad announcement? I know Tins analysed it, but I was out shooting, actually. I stopped to listen to it, saw Alan and Jones, saw the boys, saw Jason Leonard read it. And then as I was going around, I was like, oh, shit, Billy's not in it. And then someone texted me and went, oh, Marla's not in it. It's like, fuck. And then you're like, Johnny Sexton's not in it. Fuck. And then like 10 minutes later, you're like, Jonathan Davis isn't in it. And you just kept these moments, like, because you can't compute it because you're sort of looking for your mates. You then, well, everyone's sort of my friend, not everyone likes me. But it was just a very interesting sort of pick. And it's sort of odd. I don't know if any of you guys found the same thing where you were suddenly like, oh crap, they've left so-and-so out.
Yeah, or
they put someone in.
Yeah, it was difficult as you were, because I say I was out and about and I didn't have them written down in front of me. Unless you've got them on paper in front of you, then you do miss people. And then obviously Foxy not being in was a huge shock. I would have thought he would have had quite a bit of credit in the bank, as you say, Alex, and you know, man of the series in the last time out. Might not have hit full straps in the Six Nations as he wanted to, but he was coming back in late and he's had game time to get back up to speed. And we know he's a big game player and he can deliver. So that, he was a massive shock. But then, yeah, everyone else, we sort of questioned they could go either way on. I mean, I think Conan coming in, no one really saw as well. I think they were the only two that you could say you never really saw coming in. Elliot Daly, actually, as well. Don't think I ever thought he was probably going to go, and not as a, especially not as a centre. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. But Lions tours are made for people who aren't expected to go to shine, and let's see if those boys can do it.
It's definitely a lot of growth.
I wondered as well, just so what we talked about, obviously, with the coaching staff and the difference. You know, I know Now, some of the stuff that we were doing at WASC that were translated into the 2017 Lions tour, they were doing some stuff similar. And I think with those kind of components, you know, he's had Sean Edwards on one tour, he's had Andy Farrell on two tours, he's worked with Rob Howley, he's had these kind of different people. I wonder what the tact will be this time. Because, you know, Courtsy, I mean, he spoke occasionally, didn't he? But not hugely. He was sort of, when there was a big meeting, he would direct it. But the other coaches would sort of take more elements. I wonder now what the dynamic. Are you excited to work with any of those new guys or any of the players in particular?
To be honest, mate, I'm just excited to kind of get on tour and find out, you know, what the game plan is, what we're looking to do, and then get into it, to be honest. I'm actually looking forward to playing a bit of rugby this season as well. So, I mean, so...
What I love about this, and we may have a new T-shirt coming out here, is that just everything we throw at you, you're like, I just want to get on with it. And frankly, I think we could all do with being a bit more Courtney. It's a bit like, stop asking me stupid questions. I just want to get on with it. Like, perfect. Well, let's get it done then.
We had Bobby on last week. You're looking forward to what Bobby delivers. Obviously, yeah, it's going to be a tough.
We did wonder whether the rope had had any sort of role in your comeback. Is that? Can you confirm or deny?
Did it touch the pec?
I can't say anything, man. Right.
But you do owe him a big slice of thanks. Can we very quickly, and I just want to sort of throw this out there, can we just mention Kyle Sinclair? I don't know if you saw his interview after the Bristol Bath game at the weekend, but I think if anyone in administration ever questions the Lions ever again, then Kyle has given a pretty good answer. Have any of you messaged him or touched base or Hask? Have you dropped him a note?
I messaged him. He's listened to it. He hasn't replied. it's like a big story of my life. That again, look, I love Kyle purely because he's a great guy. I've known him since he was obviously younger, just as he came into the squad. I think he's a brilliant guy. I think what I do enjoy though is exactly actually what Courtney said earlier is the. You do something like that, which is raw and emotional, and then people repost it. And then people that you know full well have slagged Kyle off for sort of, you know, indiscipline or something else, then retweet it and go, wow, it's so brave, because it's so nice to be aligned with people doing good stuff. It's like, I didn't retweet it because I was like, no, Kyle, I don't need to flag up the fact that he's a good, honest guy and that he's over-emotional. I mean, the very fact that he has literally watched too much NFL to the point where he honestly thinks he's like part of maybe the winning Bears team or the defensive line. He's never quite sure, but that was raw emotion. And you know, people, you know, as Courtney said, there are people watching this stuff waiting for the Lions. There's that element of like, there could be a chance. This could be my moment. Even if you didn't think you were ever going to be involved. I remember in 2005, I think Clive Wood with it, we got sent these like wristbands out and I got one in the post, like, and you're like, apparently he sent them to like 200 people, but you didn't know that. You're like, oh my God, maybe, you know, maybe there's a chance. You know, and then 2009, you're like, maybe there's a chance. And then 2013, maybe there's a chance. And there isn't. And it kind of really can cut you. And I think for him to demonstrate that's great. But what was more important for me was the interviews, was the man of the match. I think it's great. You know, I think to do that is the perfect retort, the perfect reply, and just keep making it impossible for the pick. And then if you do stuff like that, when you don't get picked, it's not down to how you're performing. It's down to as Warren said in his interview, I think with I can't remember her name now. The lady before you, Lee McKenzie.
She did the announcement, sorry, it wasn't on Sky,
was on the hosting thing. She basically said to you know, Warren actually in reply said that it's just a matter of opinion. But it's very difficult to take the emotion out of it, because then you're like, well, why isn't your opinion to go with me? And that's what I find amazing. But, you know, fair play to Kyle. And I message a lot of people because I think it's a difficult moment. And when you get selected, there's a lot of noise. But when you don't get selected, it's your mum and a couple of close friends. And then you just have to get on with it. And there isn't that moment. There isn't that consolation. And it's hard.
Put on, yeah. Do you speak to him, Courts? I mean, have you messaged any of the boys who've missed out? Danny Kerr obviously came close. A few of the other England contingent, Joe Marler, etc. Or do you just get on with it? Be more Courtney.
No. To be fair, I wanted to message them, but I feel like doing it right at the time is probably the best time to do it.
No, I can see that.
So especially with Sinclair now, I'll message him next week and just see how he is. But at the moment, he probably doesn't want to talk about it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't want to talk about it with him. I'll talk to him next week to make sure it's all right.
I think you've nailed it. The only thing, you know, for anyone who's not on tour, is all they can do is try and get a man the match every week, so that if something does happen, you're the next person on tour, and because it shows more of about a lion's character if you can do what Sinks did on the weekend. In some ways, in fact, just to prove that, right, I'm going to prove you wrong, and that shows a bit more of your character, and that's normally what they want on a lion's tour. So.
Mm.
Fair play to him.
Hang in there, everybody who's not on it. Well done to everyone who is. Hask, I just want a quick word on Sam Simmons, who I'm hopeful we might have on in the next couple of weeks or so. He signed an exclusive deal with someone else. We're certainly not paying any cash at the moment for exclusive deals. Well, unless people are paying us for an exclusive deal. Interestingly, his last game for England in 2018 was your last game for England, wasn't it? So hopefully that's an omen for him. Well done for making it through that. But what does it say about him? What does it say about the way the Lions are going to play?
I think it's brilliant that he's involved. I think, you know, for him not being with England, I think, you know, we're in this period now of the transition. We've talked about it. I think some players have played their last ever games for England, and I think you'll probably see him feature in the new set. I think it's just brilliant that someone who's not been involved in international has kept up his standards and been on fire for Exeter and has been incredible. And I think it renews the faith that, you know, anything is possible in rugby, especially with the Lions coaching, that they are looking at everything. And it kind of reminds you as a player that, you know, you can't just turn it on for international duty and then disappear off the radar. You've got to be consistent, because if the door's closed in one avenue for you, it is possible to come back. And I'm very excited to see him. He's a lovely guy. I've not got, you know, I don't know anyone who's got a bad word to say about him. And I think he's way more physical as well than people give him credit for. Like, I remember the first time I played against him, that he runs so hard that I just didn't register. And I managed to tackle him, hit him, and I was like, who the hell is that? Right. And they were like, oh, so I used to play a winger. And I was like, fuck it. It's not really fair that he's that quick and that talented. And he runs without and out aggression. And I think it's a great testament as well to his mentality. And it's also, I think, down to partly as well what it's like being at Exeter. You know, I can only comment on kind of Wasps and Saints, but they seem to have a good old time around there. They seem to really enjoy what they're doing and play for each other and have that environment where you're allowed to flourish. And I think he's going to be great for the Lions. If, you know, if he stays fit and gets on there, I think he'll have a real part to play, as everybody will be. And I think the beauty about the Lions story is you never quite know how it's going to pan out. You've got a vague idea about the test, but everyone, as Warren says, gets to start in those first three games. And it all depends which opposition you get. Hopefully you get the butchers of the butchers of wherever it is, of Bloemfontein, you know, and then, you know, as opposed to the ex-MMA team that want to kill you all. But I think it's great, especially to see him come in, and I'm very excited.
Good on him. The Lions makes legends. And he's got a great opportunity. Courtney, I have really enjoyed having you on. And I, as I say, I hope you've had the space to kind of chat things through. It's been really interesting. What is on the to-do list between now and 26th of June, other than get fit and move from the 2Ks to the 6kg dumbbells for the shoulder?
pretty much all I've got planned, to be honest. Get back running, get into some fit for rugby. What I'm supposed to be paid to do, or I get paid to do, but I don't do it anymore.
Do you, when are you back? When are you back?
When are you?
2 weeks, hopefully.
Do you have to rip into it 120% now in order to get yourself ready? Or is there a part of you that's like, well, just, you know, Hass talks about the sort of 60 to 80th minutes when you know you're going on tour and you're playing for England. Just need to make sure that we're still here at full time kind of thing. Or can you not do 80%?
If I'm honest, if I'm not pushing for that test team, then I'd rather not go. So I've got to go flat out. And that's all there is to it. And I'm going to play as hard as I can and get on as good a form as I can before I go on tour. And then when I'm on tour, do everything I can, get on that team. And that's all there is to it. I think I've got a bit of work to do at home with my missus. But she's going to have to stay here with the four kids. So I've got some handbags to buy, probably.
Make the test team just to get the match bonus in order to be able to cover the go-away fees.
Literally, lad. So I'm going to spend the day on a couple of spa days, hold the fort with the kids a couple of times, I reckon, before I go away. And so I'm going to have to plan that ahead.
And just
that's quite tough. I'm not very
Just a very quick word on the box as well. Is there a licking of the lips and a bit of a score to settle and a, you know, the chance to make history, .. I mean, how do you assess the challenge?
It's a massive challenge. World champs, great team, massive physical challenge for us. There'll be a hell of a competition, I think.
They're going to be all right with this man amongst the ranks, aren't they? Off.
Yeah, look, I think, I could call this... I'm a massive fan of everything he does. I think he's brilliant. He's a great team man. I think, you know, he speaks a lot of sense when he does speak. And then if he's not speaking, you want to watch out where the hell he is, because he's probably cutting you in half, or he's back in his room trying to burn the hotel around cooking eggs and omelettes. So I'm excited to see him, and I'm glad he goes. And I think, you know, the versatility of the man is right up there. You have experience. I still see Courtney. It's very hard, even though his kind of large presence is that young 18-year-old kid that came to Penny Hill Park and was cutting people in half. It's very difficult for me to go, oh, you know, you're a senior statesman now. You know, you've got more caps than I've got. You've got more Lions tours than I've got, and you're gonna go on and do more. And I just hope you see him back fit, doing what he does best. Because I think having someone with that kind of cool head and competitive thing is key. You know, because when you get into the cauldron of those huge games, whether you're playing international Lions, you know, you need people who are going to be there and also going to front up in the other games, that are just going to try and put their body on the line. So I'm looking forward to, as a fan, I'm desperate to see this tour go and see. I'm keen to see the big man. And do you know what? Hopefully crowds will be back in at some point soon. So I might even venture down to Frankness Gardens, obviously VIP. But
for all the years of hard graft you put in there.
Yeah, all those four.
I'm not sure
games,
the James Haskell box has been built yet, has it? It's out the back in the car park.
I just heard security get on going, lockdown, more men. Make
who
sure
dis?
Haskell doesn't get in. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. They'll knock on the door. Yeah. Sorry, who?
And just Tim's final word. I mean, it feels we've got a squad. We're talking to the guys going. It's God, we need it, don't we? I mean, how much are you looking forward to? It's just going to be an epic battle.
I'm massively looking forward to it. I was reading an article by Ben Smith today, who's claiming sort of had a little stab at the Springboks that they've been ducking and diving from playing any rugby since they've been world champs. And they haven't really proved that they're that guy. They're the only team to have lost a game in a World Cup and gone on and won it. So he's sort of fired into them a little bit and got a lot of South African people I know fired up about it. It's going to be interesting because they're going to have a really broken warm up game regime and everything that they haven't got sorted yet. And I think this team, we said this through the whole of Six Nations, this squad will be strong whoever they send. And I think he's built one that looks like it can be versatile, play both ways. He's got players who can play, you know, people like Sam Simmons, like Courtney, who can play back row, play second row, play loose, can play physical. And I think he really has had that in his mindset when he's picked them, is he wants that every player's got to be able to front up physically, but also he's picked the ones who can do a little bit more footwork at the line, a bit X factor speed-wise. And, you know, from a Courtney perspective, you know, even if he is going in there ring rusty, he's the perfect guy to play on a line store against South Africa. You know, he's going front up every week. And as he said, he will play the testing. He's already told us it here. I'm not going to argue with him.
No.
Otherwise, I mean, and especially every 10 in South Africa is now definitely sleeping with one eye open, because out of nowhere, they are getting folded.
I don't know who they've got. I think he's obviously left. I mean, it's outdated, but I saw, was it Henry Pollard?
Well, Andre Pollard's just come back.
And I saw him back from Montpellier, and then I was thinking, I hope you like your knees.
Be more courts. All rise, please, for the Court of King Courtney. It's been very interesting indeed. Thank you very much indeed for coming on. Just before we go, a quick reminder of our GBNR merch, together with the England kit manufacturer Umbro. Don't Haskell the Hoff, The Lord's Work, Loose Rhino, Button the Tail. No pain and no gain. We didn't get Has Your Dad Seen That past the censors, unfortunately, but we'll have another run-up this week with All Rise, Please, or what was it? Be More Courtney. I think there's a T-shirt in there somewhere. Just head to umbro.co.uk/goodbadrugby to find the selection. Staying with your garbs, thanks to Charles Tirrett for coming back this week. We'd love to see you again sometime soon. Remember, you can enjoy 25% off their full range of fan wear with a 6-month guarantee and free returns. Use GOOD25 at ctshirts.com or in store. Have a nibble if that's your thing. That is it for GBNR this week. Well done, Hask. Well done, Tins. Thank you, Courtney. Look after yourself and your family. Very best of luck this summer with the Lions as well. Don't forget about our sister show, The Good, The Scars and The Rugby, together with Allianz, Emily Scarrett and Elmer Smith. You can get that from wherever it is you do your podcast on your YouTube. There's also our weekly predictor show. This is quite a menu this week, isn't it? That's on YouTube and Facebook. And if you missed it, Ben and I sat down with Brian Habana last Friday for a GBNR special looking at the European Player of the Year shortlist. Very good to get the thoughts of one of the box greatest. We also spoke Lions on that one as well. But with Europe in mind, to celebrate 25 years of the Heineken Champions Cup, Heineken, would you believe, have invited us to join them at Twickenham for the final. And we have got an unbelievably juicy competition later on in the week for you, dear readers, dear listeners, to get involved with. So keep an eye out on our social channels so you don't miss it. And what is going to be a really fun opportunity to come to the game and get involved with a fabulous prize. Thank you again, Courtney. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. See you in 7 days' time. All yours, Rob Brydon.
Thank you so much for listening to The Good, The Bad and The Rugby. It can't have been easy.